Hey, everybody. Good afternoon, at least for me. My name is Sarah D. I'm a compulsive overeater. I like sometimes color during meetings, which helps me focus. I will not color during my qualification, but if you see me looking down, it's not at my phone. What do I want to say? When I found out that, I haven't showered today, and I found I was going to be recording. I was like, oh, okay. Like I have, X number of minutes, like shower and like do my hair and put on my face. And it's like, oh, right. And I have two kids and my husband's not at home. And like, it just wasn't going to happen. And it's a testament to program that I can show up imperfectly and just trust that there will be a message regardless, right? Regardless of kind of like what this looks like and like what my body looks like. And just to start out with where I am right now, and maybe this isn't like the most kind of like inspirational way to start a thing, but, I have gained weight in the past year. I have not been binging, which is my bottom line. And I've gained weight and it doesn't feel good. And, I also need to say that I yelled at my daughter about 2 minutes before joining the meeting, like really yelled at her. And, just those two things are telling me that I am not in fit spiritual condition in some senses, right? It's not like pervasive, but like, thank goodness I get to come on this meeting and talk about my program and my growth and my recovery and remind myself of like the tools and make connections. I mean, I know very, very few of you despite having been in this program for so long. So I'm really grateful to Melanie for asking me to qualify. So, I will talk about what it was like, what it's like now and how I work the program basically. So I came into OA as, a bulimic. My eating disorder was tied very, very closely to, I don't know if I would call it like body dysmorphia, but certainly, like body image issues. And those were tied like very closely to kind of my perceived level of attractiveness to men specifically. And frankly, I think it started like with my dad, not my attractiveness to my dad, obviously, but just like my, kind of bones about like valuing like athleticism and kind of like fitness, in particular, and, specifically with women, but, and so I tried very hard to, I was like captain of the field hockey team and, and really in an effort to kind of like make him happy. Cause I think fundamentally he's a very unhappy guy. And I'm going to close my window here. The light is like very distracting. So at some point I realized not like athleticism, which didn't come to me so naturally. I discovered bulimia. And I got to, eat, and then all I had to do was throw up. I didn't have to, run laps, which frankly was a lot less painful for me at the time. And I did that kind of throughout college. And then after college as well. I didn't find it so problematic until I was like in my 20s. And it was one of those things where it was like, once I found a boyfriend, once I found a husband, it was all going to go away because all of this was, tied to body image. And so, I started dating the person who is now my husband. I'm like, this is great. We got engaged. I'm like, perfect. My anniversary is July 12th. I'm like, great. July 13th, I'm going to wake up and this is all going to go away. Right. So we go on our honeymoon and it will shock no one on this meeting to know that it did not go away on July 13th. And, in fact, like on my honeymoon, I kind of like conspired to send him upstairs while I went and like snuck them. I don't know if we can talk about food, but, I snuck food, basically like on my honeymoon. And I was like, oh, this is, that's when it really hit home that it was a problem. And then later on that year, that was in 2012, later on that year, I'm a social worker and I was working with a woman who, she's much older. She was like in her 60s, Black, lived in the Bronx, sold sex, addicted to crack, like very, very, very different life circumstances than mine. And she was sitting across from me talking to me about her addiction to crack. And like, I like full body like goosebumps. And I was just like, that's how it is for me with food. And I just, it was like, you know, I don't actually, my relationship with God, it's not like this kind of like earth shattering, like all these like amazing, like God moments or whatever. But like, if ever there was one, it was that one like incredible, aha, like earth shattering moment. And like, thank God, because that's what got me to this program. I went and I looked, I'd been, you know, I was a social worker. I was like, oh, I know what I need to do. And, you know, I was looking for somebody that did CBT and like this and like that. And it was never the right thing. I found somebody who was an addiction specialist. She agreed to work with me and said basically that I also needed to go to OA. I went to find my first meeting. Like I know, I think many of us, I kind of cried my way through. That was on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And, you know, I maybe saw the therapist like a handful more times. And that was it, because I had, you know, I'd like found, I found home, you know, I had found program. And yeah, that was, I mean, it was like 11 years ago at this point, 10 and a half years ago, and I haven't stopped coming back. And the one other thing I will say about my addiction was like, it was, I likened it to kind of like static in my head. And I just couldn't think about anything else until I got that fix. And I would just go in like search of, you know, whatever it is that I needed. And, you know, I would like take a bus route like multiple times to like go back and get, you know, whatever thing. And it was just, it was not letting me live my life the way that I wanted to. So I got to program, I got a sponsor immediately. It took me forever to start working the steps. And part of what I was so, I think a part of me thought like, as long as I wasn't working the steps and if I was like still struggling, it was okay, because like, oh, I still had the steps, right? But like, if I did the steps and I still struggled with food, this was like my rationale, right? Then like, that was it. Then there was no hope for me. Well, here I am, like having, you know, worked the steps and food is loud for me. And I don't feel despondent. Like, there's still, you know, I mean, I have been feeling frustrated recently, but the thing that this program never runs out of is hope. It is just here in abundance at every single meeting, with every single conversation I have with a fellow. And I just have so much, I don't know, I have a profound sense of hope that like, there's recovery here, you know, because I know I've experienced it. And actually, one of the first things that's like remarkable to me, and I didn't even know that I needed like help with this, was I stopped lying. And not just about my food, but I was just an inveterate liar, which again, I didn't realize. And then the other day, actually, I realized that I lied to my doctor about something, you know, again, like not food or weight related or anything like that. And it struck me, because I haven't lied in years. And I have, you know, I have two small kids, and I know so many people are like, no, dear, like you can't watch Frozen again, it's broken. Or, you know, they'll like make up these lies to make it a little bit easier to parent kids instead of just saying like no and dealing with the fallout. And I don't lie to my kids. I live with such honesty and integrity these days. And like truly, you know, even beyond the, you know, the physical recovery and the quieting of that kind of like radio static in my head, it's been the way that I have started to live my life so esteemably that has been, you know, the greatest gift of program for me. How I work program now, and, you know, this has like gone through some changes, but it's been kind of like remarkably, consistent over 10 years. I wake up in the morning. I read pages 86 to 88 of the Big Book. I say the Serenity Prayer. I read the For Today, and I text some fellows a reflection of the For Today. And that text reflection and my relationship with that handful of fellows has been, that's been a relatively recent gift of program. There was one person I was doing it with for a number of years, and she decided that it wasn't kind of for her anymore. And so I reached out, and just, you know, through these like little snippets. Oh, and included in that reflection is almost like a mini two-step prayer. It's a, you know, I write a message from higher power to me, you know, anyway. Yeah, that's been a really great, like, relatively recent gift. I guess that's happened over the past like year or so. So we do that. I have a couple of like set check-ins with fellows throughout the rest of the day. I have a gratitude group of my fellow kind of same women who are sponsored by
Sarah. 10 minutes.
Thank you. I heard 10. Oh, wait. I'm going to go to 20. So I have like an active gratitude practice. I check in with two other fellows throughout the day. And this is like, you know, on kind of like an ideal day. And then at night I write what I call like a turnover to my sponsor. And that's something that I've been doing since I started, in which my current sponsor doesn't ask me to do, but for me is a real bellwether of how I'm doing. Like whatever else is happening in my life, like if I'm earning that turnover, I know I'm in pretty good shape. It's when I start to not be completely honest and, you know, and if I'm not sharing my food with somebody else, if I'm not sharing kind of what comes to pass my, you know, kind of transgressions, my 10 stuff, all that kind of stuff, like that's not me being totally honest. And that's just a huge red flag for me when I don't have the willingness to do that email at night. I have a food plan that I developed with a nutritionist. I came to this program, like I said, when I got married. I didn't get a food plan until a couple of years later when I got pregnant. And I got pregnant and I was like, oh, I can eat for two now, you know, and my, like, I'm a smart lady. Like I know intellectually what, you know, what, I don't know, eating for one looks like, and I guess I should know what eating for two looks like, but you know, if it were up to me, I would have eaten for 10 because, you know, all of a sudden I had this kind of like social stamp of approval that it was okay. And, I had the willingness to get a food plan. And like with very, very few changes, that food plan is still with me for today, even throughout pregnancy and breastfeeding, which is like remarkable to me, right? This idea of like eating for two, you know, I like added in an extra like fruit and a protein. And that was kind of like, you know, the addition while I was pregnant breastfeeding. Anyway, and so it's three meals with an optional snack. And frankly, I usually opt into it, especially on days that I work out. I like to work out. It feels good. It's not a tool. Yeah. And then meetings have been tough for me, and I shared on a meeting recently, and I'm going to share again here, if for no other reason than to remind myself and hear myself say it out loud. I need to make meetings as much a part of my day as, you know, like making my kids breakfast or getting onto a meeting at work is, right? Like, and you know it, and I know it, without meetings, without this program, I'm going to lose all of the other stuff. And, you know, I'm not making as many meetings as I like to, you know, it used to be three, sometimes four, meetings a week. Now it's like one, maybe two, and it's not enough for me. You know, I would really like to get back to the three and four, probably three, to be fair. I also really need, I'm praying for the willingness to get better at making phone calls. It is not a strength of mine. You know, I've had a couple of like long car rides recently, and that's like, you know, when absolutely every other distraction is taken away from me, I actually have the willingness to pick up the phone. And I've been driving to correctional facilities for my job. And it's just, it's a really, it can be a really intense experience. And so to go into that experience, having touched base with program and higher power through my fellow, and then leaving and being able to kind of like turn that, like that weight and that heaviness over to somebody else has been really, really helpful. And I just, you know, one of my colleagues who I'll sometimes go visit with, like, doesn't have program. And I just kind of wonder, like, how does she, you know, how does she cope? And, yeah, this program is so much a part of how I kind of, cope, you know, cope with life and with work and with the weight of the world. So again, to get kind of come back to current, I don't know, it's fine. I'm feeling a little bit out of sorts today. I bought my daughter a snack when we were out shopping, and then I had some of it. It's not the end of the world. It's not the ideal snack. And so what I want to do actually after this meeting is just like start drafting my turnover and just make sure that I tell my sponsor, right? And it's over, right? Like I can also say now the kitchen is closed on snack. I'm going to go and I'm going to play pickleball this evening with my husband. We have a babysitter. She's going to put the kids down. Like my life for the rest of the day looks pretty good. And I don't need food. And food is like, if I turn to food for any kind of comfort or sustenance, other than, you know, simply kind of, you know, physical nourishment, like that's going to be a red flag for me. So I think also I might, I need to turn over to my sponsor what I'm going to be having for dinner, since I won't be getting home until a lot later than when I usually eat. And that would feel really good, to do those kind of two things when I get off. I am going away on a big trip to Italy on Friday. You know, despite being in not the most solid place, the most solid footing that I've ever been on in program, I'm feeling okay about it. I have traveled in program plenty before. I have my phone, I have WhatsApp, I have Connection, I have the Big Book. I have no excuse not to do the exact same thing that I do every day. Just because I'm going to be in Italy, there's no reason for me not to be eating three meals a day. I think the trick is going to make sure that I have like abstinence snacks that feel good. So I'm not turning to, you know, kind of junky stuff. But mostly I'm really looking forward to it. And I think the other thing I need to talk about right now is, I am not in control of specifically my daughter. Every time I ask her to do something, like the thing we were just arguing about was like her taking a shower. And she was like, "You mean I have to wash my whole body?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's a shower. Like you wash your body, you know?" And I can't control her. And I sometimes think by like, I don't know, by like yelling or icing her out or like, you know, being angry at her, she'll like, you know, like bend her will. And like, that's not my job. And like, that's not the kind of parent that I want to be. I want to be the kind of parent that like higher power is to me, you know, this kind of like just unfailingly loving presence in my life. And I get some pushback from my parents. And I think everybody thinks that we should be like a little bit more strict with the kids. And I don't know. I feel like I only want to be more loving with them. And I don't know. I guess like there's something bad that can come out of having parents that just fucking like love you regardless. But like, I'm not sure what that is, right? Because isn't that what program and like at least my relationship with my higher power is based on? Is like, even when I do something wrong, like higher power doesn't yell at me, doesn't scream at me, doesn't ice me out, doesn't, you know, whatever. Higher 2 minutes, thank you. Higher power says, yep, you made a mistake. You see that? I see that. Great, done. What's next? How can you make it better? You know? And that's how I want to be for my daughter. So I love a little therapy session to end a qualification. So I'm going to leave it there. Thank you guys all so much for being at this meeting. I'm really glad for the opportunity to be of service, and I will drop my number in the chat. Is that done here? I'll drop my number in the chat and feel free to reach out.